This week on Buffy the Gilmore Slayer.
Sniff it, Mom and Dad.
Buffy the Gilmore Slayer. Hello, and welcome to Buffy the Gilmore Slayer.
I'm Brian Morris.
I'm Stacey Kulo.
We're comedians.
And a couple.
And I just watched Gilmore Girls, one of Stacey's favorite shows, for the very first time.
And I just watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, one of Brian's favorite shows, for the very first time.
We watched both shows together, all 7 seasons, comparing them as we went.
And now we're watching and comparing 2 other shows from the creators of those 2 shows, Amy Sherman Palladino's Bunheads
and Joss Whedon's Firefly.
And this week we are discussing episode 9 of both shows, starting with Bunheads, No One Takes Khaleesi's Dragons,
as well as Firefly, Ariel. Before we get in the episodes, let's talk a little bit about us.
We are broken up. No.
Whoa, what? This is how you're going to tell me mid-podcast?
Did you not get the letter?
You know, I don't read my mail, and that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, I put a stamp on it instead of just putting it on your desk or whatever. No, that is not the news. Do we have any news? What have we been up to? We had a clock tower yesterday. That was fun.
Yeah, we played it all day. That was fun.
A blood on the clock tower.
We've been watching Fallout, and I enjoy that.
Oh, yeah, we have one more left. By the time this comes out, you all like have watched it twice already, but we're still on our first time. That's been fun. Mm-hmm. You played the game a little bit?
Yeah, a lot of it.
But I haven't at all. I think you've told me about it, or I've maybe seen you play it, but I don't think that's a requirement for viewing it, the show.
No, I don't think you need to have played the games at all. If you do, I think there's little Easter eggs that are fun.
Mm-hmm. It exists in the world of the game. That's it. It doesn't like follow a game like The Last of Us does.
Right, exactly. Each of the Fallout games takes place in the same universe, but like they don't connect story-wise. So the show is similar, where it's like, yeah, same universe, maybe some of the same locations even, but it's not connected. There was an eclipse since the last time we talked. How's your guys' eyes?
Oh, yeah. Did you see it? Were you in totality? The sun is so bright, guys. We were at like 90%, I think, in New York City. And I had glasses. I looked up. It was mostly covered, but it did not affect how dark it was, like much at all.
It did here.
You thought so?
Yes.
I have a lot of windows at work. I mean, it was like 3:30 p.m., so it was pretty bright outside before it happened. But I would say it kind of just looked like it was 7:30 instead.
Was it like pitch black? Obviously not. It was not. It wasn't even like dark, but it went from like... I noticeably noticed the noticeable that it was like bright out. And then suddenly, like an hour later, I looked out. I was like, why is it so dark? Oh, because the sun is being eclipsed. That's right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it looked later in the day than it would have. But just looking at images online of like how literally dark it gets and people had like little gasms with how cool it was for it to suddenly be nighttime.
I mean, it is cool.
It is cool.
Like if you had a total eclipse, like it just goes completely dark. That's like kind of crazy.
I agree. I bet it was very cool. I believe all the people that enjoyed it. I just think that even in 90%, it was nowhere near as cool.
And like you said, that's the best time to orgasm.
At 90%?
No. All when it's total eclipse, because no one can see.
Oh, I see. And that's been our science section.
We're doing a quick science section from now on.
So my rating of the eclipse is mid.
Mine is total. Okay, let's talk about the shows.
Okay. This week, we started with Bunheads. Brian, can you give us a quick summary of No One Takes Khaleesi's Dragons?
This episode is about Michelle maybe finding some romance and Boo pursuing some romance and the awkwardness of love and also about coffee.
How many people are we going to maybe give Michelle romance with?
I know, right?
This has been Charmed. No, there was the guy who I'm pretty sure we never see again. The rich dude who she just went into his house and talked to him for a while. There was Jason Styles last time. No, this guy who we haven't said yet. But I feel like there were one or two others. Maybe not.
Yeah, it's surprising that I feel like we just had the thing where she was sleeping with Jason Styles, that's not his name in this one.
Connor, director.
Yes. And then we're immediately like dropping that completely. And there's a guy who's like at least flirting with her. And there's no mention of the director. Like, are we just done with him?
I guess I don't know. But I mean, it wasn't like that was serious. She just went to meet up for sex, basically.
Sure.
I don't know. She went to the play again, so there was a bit of a buildup, but it's not like they're dating.
Right.
Anyway, tell us about the episode.
Will do. The episode starts with Michelle going to get coffee at, I guess, the town's one coffee place, which makes amazing coffee. There's a really big line that she's got to stand in. I will say this opening, this cold opening, like, was very reminiscent of a Gilmore Girls opening. That's how I felt about it.
And not just because of the actor in it.
Yes, the actor is part of it. But even before we see the reveal of who the actor is, I thought it had Gilmore Girl vibes. She's standing in line. Everyone's brought, like, super thick books to read because this line takes forever. And so she's kind of commenting on how long it's taking and the books people are reading. Like, one woman's just reading Moby Dick. Another guy's, like, reading his trig book, Trigonometry. And then we get the reveal when it's Michelle's turn to finally get coffee. And again, stress, this is like an hour wait in this line. She gets up there and it's Kurt.
Kirk. It's not our cat.
Oh my God, I said our cat. It's our cat. We had no idea he had done a show. Oh my God.
He was great.
Yeah.
He learned how to make coffee. He never makes us coffee.
Kurt, yeah. So Kirk is now Bastion, who just goes by Bash, which I thought that was all very funny. Sebastian is this amazing barista. He's won all of these. He's got a giant trophy where he beat the Italians and the French at coffee. Just all of them, I guess.
Yeah, was it like a war?
Yeah, I don't know. He beat them and it's just, he's so proud of it.
Just to be clear, when we say Kirk, we mean Sean Gunn, the actor who plays Kirk.
Yes, yes.
He's not Kirk playing Bash. It's not such a different character, though.
It's the same energy.
Kirkergy.
Michelle is like, I need a coffee quick. And he's all like, I don't even let people pick their coffees. I'm like a coffee guru and I will decide what you need. And it'll take me a long time to make it.
Yeah, he's got to ask like questions and stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, though, because he like is able to immediately diagnose what her favorite type of coffee is, what her normal coffee is. And she's like, that's right. So I think we're supposed to believe he actually is good at this, but he's just a lot. And then he starts like sniffing each bean to decide what to get her.
He's like, I need to focus on the beans.
It's pretty funny. It's a little stupid, but it's kind of funny. And it's good to see Kirk again. We're going to come back to this guy later. This is apparently the only place to get coffee in town. There's no other place to get it. And so Michelle has got this dilemma about, oh, it just takes so long and all she wants is a coffee. And I just like do not buy that even though this is a small town, this is like the only place to get coffee. Like there's just nowhere to get coffee. Like Fanny doesn't have a coffee maker in her house. Like there must be another place to get coffee.
Yeah, it is very Gilmore Girls in the fact that, like, this isn't realistic. It's a quirky town thing that, like, isn't something that would probably actually happen. But we'll probably also rarely see it again.
Oh, I should mention that while Michelle's in line, she reads that an old colleague of hers is now choreographing or in charge of choreographing some show that's coming up. And she seems to think that this is going to get her a shot or that he might help her because they had a pact a long time ago. We'll find out. That whichever of them makes it big first will help the other one. So she calls her old friend, leaves a message with his secretary, I guess, and like also adds like a cute joke from the childhood, like an inside joke, and seems to be confident that he's going to call her back.
I don't know if it was childhood. They like stayed somewhere together as
you're
adults.
Right. You're right. But they were colleagues. They were in a show together. Fanny, meanwhile, is trying to cast the main character in their Nutcracker play that's coming up. Or dance. I don't know if it's a play. I guess it would be dance.
I think it's the whole show. The Nutcracker. Like Swan Lake. It's like a whole ballet.
Sasha was clearly going to do it, but she had to tell Sasha that she was out last week because Sasha got a tan and then dyed her hair and then was a lot. So she's like trying to, you know, cast somebody else, but she just like can't. Like everyone is not good enough. Everyone is bad. And she's just like running them through like hard routines until one of them's good enough, I guess. I don't really understand what's happening.
She says she's thinning the herd.
Yeah, I don't know what any of this. She's being a lot. She's being too much. She's being mean, like running around in all these drills, yelling at all the girls. The main characters, Boo and the other ones. What the fuck are their names? We got
Melanie is one. They're like hiding in the bushes.
But who's the other girl?
Ginny. Ginny and Melanie are hiding.
Yeah. Outside, Ginny and Melanie are hiding because they're afraid of Fanny right now. I don't even know why they're there. Why don't they just go home?
I thought at first they were maybe hiding because they didn't want Sasha to get mad at them for getting the part. But I guess Sasha like kind of quit voluntarily to be a cheerleader.
Yeah, and she already didn't have a problem with Boo doing a different part. So yeah. I think we're past that. But they're waiting for Melanie's brother to come in a very nice car, by the way. And this is where the episode just already upset me. Sorry, everybody. The show is not Amy's best work. So they're waiting for Jenny. What the fuck's her name?
They're waiting for Ginny?
No, what's the girl's name?
Melanie. Melanie.
They're waiting for Melanie's brother to come pick them up. And we get some dialogue that makes me like change my opinion on some shit. So Melanie has been really mean to her brother the whole show. And her brother is been kind of a piece of shit. You could argue both of that is just they're both young. They're both siblings. Siblings are unfair and shitty to each other and not adults. But we find out that Melanie planted fake drugs in her brother's bedroom to get him in trouble. And that is why he's got this punishment of having to drive her around all the time. Now I'm like, he kind of has a right to be pissy all the time because he didn't have drugs and he's got this punishment that you orchestrated that's not based on anything he did wrong.
So I think initially he did do something wrong that he was being punished for, but they had mentioned in the last episode that that punishment time was up. And she said something about, don't worry about it. I found drugs in his room, so he'll be in trouble again. So I think he did do something bad initially, but now she like re-upped the punishment by planting weed, quote unquote, in his room.
Okay, so let's say you can't justify his previous assholiness, because I'm not sure what exactly happened. Either case, what she did is like shitty and like almost psychopathic.
Right.
Or sociopathic, not psychopathic, sociopathic. Like, how do you think that's okay?
And did you already mention that it's not drugs? It's oregano, probably?
Which is also like, sniff it, mom and dad.
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense, because he would be like, I don't know what that is. Where did that come from? I don't have drugs in my room. And they would smell it and realize it was oregano.
Yeah, totally.
Like, they must not have opened the bag and just assumed it was weed, or he didn't try very hard to insist it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't really understand any of this. It's kind of nonsense. And it's frustrating that like the characters in the show sometimes do some really shitty things, and there's not much commentary to the audience to like let us know that, hey, it's not okay what they did. People make mistakes, but it's not okay. And I'll talk about that later. But anyway, her brother is a piece of shit. I mean, he's not like an evil man, but he's not a cool guy. He's a teen. I was probably a shitty teen too.
I think it's just like none of the characters are very real.
Yeah.
Maybe Sasha kind of is. I mean, she sucks sometimes too, but I buy her flaws as real flaws. And Boo, I guess. But like the other people are just like all just like kind of joke machines, but we never see them be real. Like, sometimes Lorelai's behavior was crazy, but for the most part, like, Rory was a real character.
Right.
And Lorelai had moments of, like, realness.
Well, there's just so many times where I don't see the characters as being even likable.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, you can have people do unlikable stuff, but then you have to show a softer side. Like, Paris acknowledges that she's a lot at some point, and then we can be like, she's self-aware enough, she can't help it. And I'm not getting that from any of these characters. Other than, like, Sasha's got a home life that sucks, so it's okay that she's the worst. Okay, so the car comes, and it's immediately super weird because Ginny, if you guys remember, found out that Melanie's brother thinks she's hot, and she always thought he was hot, and so now she's super uncomfortable. Like, she gets in the car and sits in the back, and then they tell her to sit up front with him, and they make a joke about how she always messes with his radio. And then he's like, you're the one that's always been messing with my radio stations. But what? None of that dialogue makes
sense. Does he not have eyes? Or is like she doing it when he's not in the car or something? Like, what?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
Who it was, unless he's not in the car or just like not paying attention at all.
Yeah, so I mean, I hate to just like really pick it apart, but I'm like, wait, how are you messing with the station? Like, when he's getting gas? Whatever. But it's a running thing throughout the whole episode that she's just like completely uncomfortable around him, especially because she wants to date him, but can't because Boo has claimed him. They use a term called like broncoed, like he's broncoed. Is that like bra code, like girl code or something?
Oh, yeah, like bro code, B-R-A, bra code.
Oh, okay. So that's what
I don't know that that's a thing people say, but it might have just been a joke, like the female version of bro code.
Right. The girls meet up at the Clamory. What is it called? The Oyster Bar is what its actual name is.
Oyster Hut, maybe?
It's the Oyster something.
The Clamory.
Sure. The girls go to the Clamory, where Sasha shows up to tell them all about cheerleading. She's like, you know, I didn't like it at first, but actually it's great. She says she's got a secret sister, which is one of the girls in the cheerleading squad that's, you know, a senior member who, like, kind of takes a younger member under their wing and, like, leaves her gifts on her doorstep in the morning. And so Sasha really likes it. She's like, I'm getting into it. It's pretty fun. It's also way easier than ballet. We only have to practice 1 hour a day. It's crazy that that's all we have to do.
There's time to watch.
She has a line TV here that's funny. Yeah. She's like, I have all this free time. I could like watch TV without multitasking. I could just sit there and watch TV like a Midwesterner. That's funny.
I relate. Life's slower there.
Yeah.
You can just sit and watch TV at night. I mean, that's what we did as kids, right? Did you and your family just like watch TV? Yeah. I mean, you and I watch TV now, but like after several hours of doing our side hustles or other projects.
Right.
Or like we're also doing something else while a TV's on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
That could just be that there's more to do now. Before there wasn't the internet or other things to be doing with our lives because we were children. But I thought that was funny.
Yeah, me too. Back at the coffee shop, Michelle again is waiting for her coffee. She calls Richard again. He apparently has not called her back, so she's worried about it or thinks that maybe the message she said was too friendly or wasn't clear who she was. So she calls again and leaves another message stressing that she wants him to call her back. While this happens, Fanny calls her and she's like trying to get her phone out and she knocks down a bunch of cups, which like throws Bash off so he can't make coffee while she's doing it. And this is all pretty funny because at some point she gets the phone because she thinks it's her friend Richard calling her back. That's why she's so desperate to get this phone out and is knocking stuff over. But it's Fanny. Fanny is talking to her on speaker and at some point is like, am I on speakerphone? Bastion's like, yeah, it's like messing up my vibe. And then Fanny's like, I'm so sorry, Bash. And he's like, it's not your fault, Fanny. That was all funny.
The reason Fanny is calling is because she wants Michelle to come open the studio.
Michelle goes to the studio, but Truly has already opened it for her. I guess Truly was Fanny's backup plan for Michelle, but Truly shows up earlier and she like opened it and like has candles. And Michelle's like, okay, cool. We're not doing candles.
Yeah, she's trying to like make it smell nice for Fanny because she's obsessed with Fanny.
Yeah, and there's also a funny line where Fanny was on the phone and she's like, I'm having brunch with her boyfriend. And she's like, brunch, you know, it's that thing that childless couples and gay men do.
Yeah, she's like typically enjoyed by childless couples and gay men, which is not inaccurate.
So Michelle is going to start class and Boo shows up to rehearse her dance with Carl. If you guys remember, they're going to be having a dance together. And Carl seems very cold and very much like, hey, let's just get going. Like enough small talk. Doesn't respond really to Boo's like friendly gestures or like conversation and just like wants to get down to practicing and seems like a little short and annoyed with Boo.
Sure.
Boo tells... Boo tells Michelle, hey, you have to go because you're too hot. Right? She's like,
yeah.
You got to go because you're too hot. Carl's getting distracted. I want him to be focused on me.
Because the reason that Michelle opened was the studio was for these two to rehearse. And then she offers to like stay and help them. But Boo's like, no, no. It'll make Carl want you instead of me. Which is, there's like so much to that. Michelle's a much older woman that Carl probably isn't interested in dating.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird that Boo, like, isn't acknowledging that she was a dick to Carl last week.
Yeah. He's, like, short with her, and then she seems all like, okay, like, why aren't you saying, like, hey, I could tell you're upset about the shitty things my friend said.
Yes, because I don't think we said in this episode, but last week, Ginny and Melanie misunderstood Boo's feelings for Carl because she previously was not that excited about dancing with him, but then he was cool and she developed a bit of a crush on him, which they don't know about. So they were like, get away from her, shorty. You're bothering her. She hates your lasagna. Why would she want to hang out with you? And Boo didn't deny any of that. So he thinks Boo hates him.
He even says some of this, but it would be one thing for them to say, hey, you shouldn't be dating her. But like they just like insult the shit out of him. And she just sits there while they do it. I don't blame him at all for being cold to her.
Yeah. So it's odd that she isn't just immediately being like, hey, what my friend said wasn't true. Or sorry, they were rude. I didn't mean for them to be like that. She's just kind of trying to pretend like she wants to be nice now without acknowledging it.
Yeah. Michelle's getting more and more upset as the episode goes on that her friend hasn't called her back. She like keeps finding photos of them together and even finds a receipt that she paid for this trip they went on. Fanny, meanwhile, it's that thing where they're talking past each other. Fanny starts just talking about how she can't cast anybody. None of the girls are good enough, but she can't use Sasha. Fanny even just, like, grabs some random boy that's outside. Like, you could do the part. Get in here. We're going to try you out.
Yeah.
Michelle tells Fanny, you should just tell Sasha that she can do this. Try to get her to apologize. Like, you know, give her an olive branch. And Fanny's like, why would I? It's her fault. She needs to come to me. Fanny has no sense of being the bigger person. Fanny's a lot. I don't like Fanny. I mean, she's right that Sasha sucked, but like Fanny's not handling this very well.
Right.
Michelle goes to the coffee place and there's no line this time, but it's still going to be about forever, at least 15 minutes to get her coffee.
Do they say why there's no line? Maybe it's just an off time of day.
I mean, if they do, I missed it. But she is very excited at some point because she's tired of how long it's going to take. And she throws in Bash's face that, you know what? There's a supermarket that's opening up. That's where they're going to do this dance, is at the supermarket, by the way. I don't really understand that.
I think it's just like a big grand opening that they're performing at.
Which is, I've never seen ballet at like an open. Maybe it's common. I don't know. I've never been to a grand opening.
You've seen ballet anywhere?
No.
You don't know where it is?
I don't. So Michelle is very excited. She's telling Bash, like, I can't wait to go to this supermarket and get, like, coffee there, and I'd never have to come here again. I don't care how, like, corporate and stupid it's going to be. Like, I can get my coffee there. I'm so excited about it. She's, like, storms out.
Is this where she knocks over his trophy, or is that in the previous scene?
I think in the previous scene she knocks over the trophy accidentally.
Yeah, she knocks over a bunch of stuff, and he's, like, all upset.
What's funny is the people's reaction. The people in line keep looking at Bash, like, is he okay? Is he going to explode?
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a scene of Michelle teaching a class of tap dancing where I know her name's not Gypsy. I don't know what her name is in this show.
Sam.
Sam is tap dancing. And then we have a pretty funny piece of dialogue where Michelle's like, how long have you been taking classes, Sam? And Sam's like, a long time. I don't remember, like 4 years or something. And she's, Michelle's like, because you're still really bad. Like, you're not getting any better.
She's like, I know.
Yeah, I don't want to get better.
Yeah, she's like, if you set the standards low, you don't have to be disappointed type of justification. She shoots for mediocrity.
Yeah, and it's going great, I guess. She's very excited. They're very positive about it. But she finds out that Sam and the city council are the reason the supermarket is not opening. We find out right now it's not opening. So there's not going to be a dance. No one knows that yet. And it's not going to open up, which means Michelle can't get her quick coffee either. And Sam said they did this by like some sort of zoning technicality. Like they purposely tried to shut it down. She doesn't give a reason why here, but Michelle's all like, well, I'm going to fight this and find a way to overdo this. Overturn this is the word.
But she overdoes it.
Yeah, it's also the name of the association, if I think I have this right, is the Association for Keeping It Real in Paradise.
And then she has an acronym for it, too. She's like, that's too long, so we just call it. But I didn't write it down, did you?
No, I didn't, but it's also silly. Boo also wants the supermarket to open because she's like, dancing is the only time I get to see Carl. And if we're not dancing, I'm not going to see him anymore. So Michelle's like, I'm going to make this happen. And this is where she says the title line that they're not going to take Khaleesi's dragons, which is a very, very topical reference at that time.
This is very early in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones started about a year before this. So it was very topical.
Then we see Boo and the girls, Melanie and Bessie.
Ginny.
Then we see the girls, Boo, Ginny and Melanie, and Betty. Betty's there, you know, going to a basketball game to see Sasha cheerlead. A lot of weird things in this scene. Specifically, Boo has like a stack of corn dogs. I guess they may all be sharing the food, but she's like always on a diet. And a corn dog seems like it's definitely not on her diet plan.
It is odd that she's eating a bunch of junk food and they don't call attention to it. Just because they've called attention to what she's eating every other time she's been eating.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
I thought maybe they were going to address it because she's like stressed out about the Carl thing, but mm-hmm. They don't address it.
No. By the way, she keeps seeing Carl like flirting with some girl who's got her hand on his knee and he's flirting up hard with this girl. Meanwhile, Sasha is cheerleading. She's surprised to see the girls have come. Maybe a little embarrassed. I don't know. We have this like head cheerleader that's like, Sasha, we've talked about how you like kick too high and we can't kick that high. And we want to all be uniform. So I need you to stop doing that.
She's like, okay, you want me to be more mediocre?
She's like, yes, perfect.
Okay.
Because they, you know, the cheerleaders don't practice nearly as much. They can't kick the same. And this girl's like giving her shit the entire time. While the girls are sitting in the bleachers, Melanie's brother and his friend show up. And they just like force their way into the group. And like, he sits right next to, let's call her Betty. fuck, Ginny. I know her name. He sits next to Ginny, who then can't talk at all. She had just asked for some nachos, but as soon as Melanie's brother sits next to her, she's like, I don't want those. I don't eat nachos. I don't eat anything or use the bathroom. And then she gets up and then just like stumbles on top of like everyone in front of her. I actually thought it was pretty funny, physical comedy.
It was pretty well done. She just like fully falls forward onto a man.
Yeah.
And then just like tumbles down the whole bleachers.
Trying to be like nonchalant and cool the whole way through. That was pretty good. And then she just is like talking to Sasha about nothing to like seem like she had a reason to go down there.
I do think the actress does this all pretty well, but it seems so silly to me that she's just like so flustered that she has lost any sense of how humans act. I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen that in real life as extreme as they're portraying this.
Absolutely. I don't know. I'm not a girl who's young. Like,
you're a girl who's old.
Yeah, I'm a very old girl. Guys don't really care about what girls eat. Like, I think it's even like a stereotype that guys like girls who seem like they can eat a lot.
Mm.
To be clear, I think guys like the illusion of a girl who's very thin and like also eats a lot. And so the idea that she's like trying not to eat in front of him is like, well, that's, why would that be great? Unless you're like, you know, something messy that you're going to look gross eating.
What I was going to say, it might be because it's nachos. It's like a little bit messy. Like, I think it's
well,
more
later
just like,
she says it's just eating.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't want to eat in front of him.
Well, yeah, I think you don't eating isn't cute sometimes. You don't want to like
sure.
have something on your face or
yeah.
have to open your mouth real big to get a taco in there or whatever.
Yeah.
The first time I ever had sushi was on a very early date. And that's like a weird food to eat when you're trying to impress someone. You just have to like shove the whole thing in your mouth.
Interesting. There's some other stuff here. Like Sasha starts to do her part, her like solo for the cheerleading part. You know, that's what they come for. And she's like, my name's Sasha and I eat cheese or whatever they say. It's not generally what they say. But she starts just like coughing uncontrollably. And
why?
Sasha's, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I need to write their names down and just have a list here.
You know, I wrote his name down as Josh, but I'm not 100% sure that that's true. That might be Jenny's ex-boyfriend's name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Melanie's brother.
Someone suggests she might have swallowed a fly or a bug, and that's why that's happening. But Sasha's, like, over cheerleading. She clearly hates it because, well, she doesn't like that one more one because she's being a lot. Like, you can't kick a thigh. And then that girl's like, we're going to go out there and do, like, a big pep cheer for them to tell them that they're going to win and they're the best. And Sasha's like, why would we do that? We're, like, 40 points behind right now. We're definitely going to lose. These guys suck. And then she does this big speech about how men are in the place they are right now because, you know, they're in high school and cheerleaders are telling them they're the best and they can do everything. And then they go out into the world and they don't know how to handle rejection. So they drink. And I don't know. It was kind of a lot, but it was whatever. I guess maybe someone thought it was funny. It didn't really work for me. But then we see all the cheerleaders are really sad and Sasha's smiling. Sure. Okay.
Charlie. Charlie is her brother's name. Josh That's is it. Jenny's ex-boyfriend. I had to Google it. Yeah, this speech, though, I liked it. Like, it was an interesting thing that I hadn't really thought about. Because I don't know how many cheerleaders there actually are anymore. My school at some point just switched to, like, a dance team. I feel like maybe cheerleading is a little antiquated. Like, not as many schools have it, but I'm sure it exists. But it is kind of an interesting thing that there's just, like, a group of hot, popular girls cheering on the boys.
Yeah.
I think girls cheer for girl sports, too. And there are male cheerleaders. But it is sort of a weird thing. I don't, however, think that there's many high school girls that are, like, wise enough to recognize that it's weird.
Yes,
I kind of don't buy that Sasha is as intelligent as the speech is. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Boo also finally goes down and starts talking to Carl when she gets too jealous because that girl is flirting with him. And she's all like, hey, we should practice some more. And he's all like, oh, hey, I got called by Fanny. The supermarket thing's not happening. We're not dancing. It's no big deal. I don't think I'm going to be dancing anymore. I think my career with that's over. Meanwhile, he's like constantly looking for the girl he was just flirting with, just like not even really giving Boo any attention whatsoever. And Boo's all bummed. This would be a great opportunity for Boo to address the shitty things her friends had said to him. But she's just like longingly like, why doesn't he like me? Why is he flirting with some other girl? Like, I don't feel bad for you, Boo.
Right.
Michelle, meanwhile, is still trying to get this council thing together. She wants to get the whole town together so they can have a council meeting and get that supermarket. So she has resorted to tricking people by, like, just calling people in town and lying to them about what the event is. Some 90-year-old man, she's called him and said that it's, like, a celebration of his 90th birthday and, like, can't wait to see him at this thing. And she tells Godot, that's the super hot, ripped guy who kind of looks like a tall Jess. I feel like he's got a Jess face.
Son of Mitchum, who works at the Clamory.
Yes.
Sorry, what's Mitchum's name? Ripper? It's not Ripper. It's like...
It's Giles.
No. Shoot, what's his name?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I just don't remember his name. It's like Chaz or something like that.
No.
Whatever the case, that's his son.
Rico.
Rico. So Rico's son, Godot, is at the bar. He's wearing a shirt, but there's no sleeves, so he's compromising.
Mm.
And Michelle is like, hey, can you give these flyers out? And as they're doing that, there's some flirty energy between them. We can feel it.
He's really into her desperation and lying to people. I don't know. This makes an impact on him for some reason.
Yeah. And she'll keep referencing her age throughout the thing and their age difference. But I have to say, like, her body is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's because she's a dancer. And, like, yeah, maybe you're older, but, like, in this town, you're a 10. So, I don't know.
Right.
It's not crazy this guy be attracted to.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess she's supposed to be, like, 10 to 12 years older than him in the show. Mm-hmm. I think she's in her late 30s and he's in his mid-20s.
Right. But I also don't think it's crazy for her to, like, want to sleep with him because she has casual sex. I don't know.
She has kind of dissed this man to the girls, being like, he's just an idiot hot boy.
Right.
But cut to, I'm sure.
Well, the last guy she slept with did seem a lot older than him. Speaking of sleeping, Ginny is spending the night at Janelle's house.
Melanie.
It's Janelle, right? No. Ginny is spending the night. I don't need to know these names. The show doesn't continue. Ginny is spending the night at Melanie's house. Janelle is not there this time. In fact, she hasn't been on the show yet. So Melanie is, like, you know, in sweatpants and stuff. And she notices that Ginny is still dressed up and, like, putting on nice makeups. And it's, like, bedtime. And this is where Ginny admits that she's into
Charlie.
Melanie's brother.
Brother.
Melanie gets all upset. She's like, you could never date him because Boo has already claimed him. Bro code, but bra code, bron code is where we ended up. Put on some, like, comfy pants because you can't have him. She says, like, Boo owns the rights to date Charlie. I mean, this is probably a real thing that people have. I don't know that I was ever in a situation where this kind of thing happened, but
I kind of have sort of been. A friend of mine started dating a guy I broke up with. I was, like, not trying to date him again at that point, I guess. But it was a little like, we weren't that, her and I weren't, like, super in touch at this point. But still, it was like, okay. But it was someone I had broken up with. You know, it wasn't someone I was, like, trying to get with.
Yeah.
But I do feel like that is a little weird. Because as far as they know, Boo doesn't have a crush on Carl. She's still, like, madly in love with Charlie.
Right.
So I would say that is kind of wrong of Ginny to even be considering it.
Yeah. I mean, Ginny does a big thing here where she's, like, not trying to be attracted to Charlie, but she can't help it. And that's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I mean, it's complicated politics when your friends are in love with each other, but, like, you can't help who you're into. But more on that in a minute. The neighborhood council meeting goes swimmingly in that a few people show up thinking it's, like, someone thinks they're there for free puppies. That one guy's there for his 90th birthday. There's some people there that think there's, like, a show happening.
Melanie thinks it's a Sound of Music sing-along. And she's, yeah, like, all dressed, yeah, up for that. That was pretty funny.
There's about a dozen people there. And we see the council, which has Sam on it. And it's also got Sal on it, the ass man. And they were like, this is, like, a great turnout for one of our meetings. Michelle makes this, like, impassioned speech about why they need the supermarket and, like, how dare they stop it and, like, why would they? And then we find out after a little bit that the supermarket wanted to, like, dump their waste and pollute the water. And I guess they ran some projections and it would, like, kill all of the ducks. And then the ducks it didn't kill would fly to infect other ducks elsewhere. And it would kill a lot of ducks and some other animals. All the fish would have two heads. It was going to be bad. So we find out that they stopped the supermarket for good reasons, which is frustrating. It's played for a joke, but I'm like, okay, you wouldn't have mentioned that before now?
Right.
There's also a little bit of a funny line where Michelle is, like, really shitting on the one grocery store they have, and it's like the owner is one of the people on the council. Oh, there's also a funny line from Sal, because she's like, don't you want to go to a place that has more than one type of mustard? And Sal's like, no, I don't want any of that fancy, chunky mustard that fancy people pass from limo to limo.
Yeah. The Grey Poupon,
like those old commercials. He's like, just plain mustard for me. I thought that was funny.
Mm-hmm. I wish we got more ass stuff from him in this episode, though. Or, like, more of that type of thing where he's sort of, like, a weird.
No, more ass stuff. That's what you said.
I want more ass stuff.
Carl is there, I guess, too. And Boo takes him aside and says, like, hey, why don't you want to dance with me? Like, what's going on? And he just says all the stuff that should have been obvious to her. Like, you just let your friend shit all over me. Specifically, like, they said mean things about my lasagna. What was that about?
Mm-hmm.
And she may say she's sorry. I apologize for not knowing for sure. But the feeling isn't her saying I'm sorry. The feeling is her just being like, I don't know why I didn't say anything. My friend just said that and I should have, but I didn't. I don't actually feel that way. I would like to date you. And then he immediately kisses her because he clearly has been wanting her but holding back because he thought she didn't. And they're kissing. It's going great. But then Melanie and Ginny walk in. And I thought this was kind of funny, too. They both, like, kind of gasp. But then Ginny immediately turns to Melanie and is like, see, I could date Charlie. It's fine. She's with this guy now. But then Boo is like, whoa, you want to date Charlie? But I've got dibs on Charlie. And just ignores Carl, leaves him in the background, and just starts talking about how, like, you can't date Carl because Carl was mine.
Charlie.
No, she's into a guy named Carl now.
That's this guy's name, so she is.
You're right. There's too many names in shows now, guys.
This show's 12 years old.
Yeah, names have gotten only worse. But then Melanie and Ginny just start, like, kind of shitting on Carl again. And while he's there, they say, like, she can't be going after Charlie and also Shorty Short McShorten or whatever. She calls him, like, Short, like, three times. She also made short jokes about him earlier. And, of course, Carl's just sitting there hearing all this and just, like, rolls his eyes and leaves. And then Boo eventually notices he's gone and is all like, oh, like, maybe I'm stupid. I did a wrong thing.
Yes, girl, you are. Have this conversation a little later or be like, sorry, Carl, I need to talk to these girls.
Yeah. And also the girls. Like, I am probably extra sensitive to this because I am a shorter guy. But, like, why is it okay for you just to shit on him for being short, like, to his face when he's not a bad dude?
Right. I do think that they think he's annoying, though. Or, like, they think he is annoying Boo because she hasn't expressed her
feelings. She's making out with him.
I understand. But I think, like, in the previous episode, they are calling him short because that is something they can make fun of him for. But I think they were like, ugh, this guy's super annoying and he's just trying to get with Boo and she doesn't want that, which is why they were defending her.
I understand that. But in this scene, she calls him Shorty Short.
Yes.
Short. But it's like he's right there. You know Boo is into him. You imagine if I called some girl like, oh, you're with Chubby Chubberkins? Like, whoa, no fucking way. I'm canceled now. Like,
yeah.
I understand those aren't exactly the same thing. But, like, it's weird. Especially because Boo should immediately be like, don't call him that.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good guy. But instead, she's just like, but I used to be in love with this other guy. Like, and you know, calling herself stupid, sure. But, like, I can't imagine making the same mistake twice. You just said to him, I don't know why I didn't defend you. And she does it again.
Oh, Carl, we love you.
The council meeting is ending. Michelle is putting away the chairs and Godot is helping her. And he starts flirting kind of hard with her. She keeps mentioning her age. And he's all like, who cares about your age? Age is just a number, baby girl. And he's all like, we should go surfing. You think too much.
Surrender to the ocean.
Yeah. And she's like, we can never date. And he's all like, all right, we'll see. Planting seeds for future episodes. Then he leaves and she smiles. She definitely would date him. I think there's going to be something in the future.
Which is complicated because the girls all have crushes on him. What about Brocco?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Broccode.
Or Broncode, as Brian likes to say.
Whatever it is. We have one last scene where Michelle is just going to the girls' school, I guess. She's just walking through campus. I don't understand why.
I'm guessing she went there to find Sasha to tell her to come back. But yeah, Sasha's there not practicing cheerleading. She's just sitting on the bleachers. And Michelle is like, Sasha, what are you doing here? I'm like, what are you doing here, Michelle? This is not a place you're supposed to be.
It's kind of a funny line. Sasha's like, I sprang my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle sits next to him. They kind of both joke about how shitty the cheerleaders are as far as, like, their ability to, like, do gymnastic type stuff or stretch or kick.
Or jump. Mm-hmm. She's like, did they train to do that in a room with really low ceilings?
Yeah. Michelle essentially is like, hey, you should apologize to Fanny. It's really stupid to quit something you're super good at. And it's a big mistake. We don't get, like, an answer from Michelle, but she sort of smiles like, this is good advice.
Yeah, I wonder if the message is like, Michelle shouldn't quit yet either. Because she specifically tells Sasha she's too young to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle is maybe, it is time to quit if she hasn't made it big. Like, her body's not going to be able to be a young dancer much longer, probably.
Right.
Because Michelle's sort of debating if she should dance again in this episode.
We do have one last final scene, I misspoke, where Michelle goes home and she finds a pink bag. And inside the pink bag and the bow, so it's a present, is a coffee maker, which she hugs and she's so happy about. She takes inside. Now, watching this episode, trying to figure out who gave her this is a little tricky. It seems to me, on a casual viewing, you'd think it must be Godot, because she complained to Godot. Godot is aware of her coffee situation and is clearly trying to, like, win her heart a little bit, or at least get her interested. So it would make sense that he would have bought her a coffee machine. However, Sasha earlier, like we said, mentioned this whole cheerleader thing where they have a secret sister who gives them a present on their doorstep, and that would seem to be what is happening here. So perhaps it was Sasha that did it. However, two things about that. Sasha, to our knowledge, does not know about her coffee situation. At least on screen, she hasn't been told about it. It almost seems like this scene takes place on the same day. So Sasha would have to, like, have done that very quickly.
Oh, I guess I didn't really clock what she was wearing or anything.
I'd have to look at what she was wearing. It may be different.
But yeah, Sasha could have, like, decided she wanted to do something nice for Michelle and asked her friends, because Boo, absolutely, I think, would have known about the coffee thing.
No, yeah.
But you were saying the bag also being pink.
Yeah, the bag's also pink, which is an aesthetic that I feel like a woman might be more likely to pick out. Not that a man wouldn't. Unless you're getting a gift for like a little girl, I feel like, I don't know, a guy wouldn't in general. So I think it was Sasha.
Yeah. Or maybe it's the same person that sent Lorelai that ice cream maker. We'll just never know.
We'll never know.
So Brian, did you like this episode?
I didn't, because I have some like serious issues with some of the characters' decisions and like how we're supposed to like them. But I will say that there were, especially when I'm going over my notes, there were some things here that made me laugh.
Yeah.
There were some pretty funny moments. But there's just so many logical things in the show that I'm like, but why this? But why couldn't you have bought a coffee maker before now?
Mm-hmm.
They're not even that expensive.
Right. The one she got was just I bet it was $100 at the most.
Yeah. Whatever.
I didn't find this one as funny as most. It did have some good jokes that we told you guys about, but I think other ones have been more of the Gilmore Girl pace, where like a lot of it is funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't ever find the storylines that good or interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the sprinkling of jokes isn't enough to like make it a great episode ever.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a big actor from Gilmore Girls that is in quite a few episodes, so they must have to show up soon. Maybe that'll turn things around.
Is it Taylor? I hope it's Taylor.
It is not Taylor. Do you want me to tell you who, or do you want to be surprised?
You can tell me.
It's Paris.
Interesting.
But she's in like 6 episodes at least, so.
Yeah, I'm surprised she hasn't shown up yet.
Should we move on?
To a special segment?
Yes.
A special segment we like to call Movies One of Us Has Never Seen.
As you know, we used to use this portion of the podcast to talk about Charmed, a WB show airing around the same time of Buffy and Gilmore Girls that neither of us had seen.
But now we're taking turns being our partner, explain what they think happened in a movie that they've never seen, based only on the title and very little other information.
This week, I have chosen a movie I think Brian has not seen. Brian, have you seen the movie A Walk to Remember?
I have not.
Great. I will say I have not seen this movie as many times as I've seen the other movies that we have discussed, but I've seen it at least once. Maybe 2 or 3 times, or at least parts of it more than once. So I'm not an expert, but I'm excited to hear what you think about it.
Okay.
Do you have any questions you'd like to ask me before you begin? You can ask 3.
Yeah. What is the genre of movie?
I would say teen romance.
Teen romance. Okay. What job does the main character have?
Student?
Okay.
Tutor. I'll say tutor.
Does this end in a dance?
Like culminate in a big school dance?
Yes.
No.
Okay. All right.
I'm not going to say they don't dance at some point. They probably do. But no, it does not culminate in a big school dance.
Got it. Okay. So this movie is about a girl who is going to school.
Mm-hmm.
She gets in trouble for smoking. Now, she's not a smoker, but she gets like peer pressured into smoking. And then the friends run off right when she's smoking and the teacher finds her. And so she gets in trouble and she's like, you're going to be sentenced to summer school because it's the end of the summer. It's the end of the year.
Okay. Yeah.
So she's in summer school and there's a bad boy in summer school too.
Oh no.
And while they're in summer school, one of the classes they take is like this outdoorsy class where they have to like go for like long hikes.
Mm-hmm. The walk.
And they go for a long hike and it's her and this other guy, and there's another couple, and they all get lost, and they're out on this like big hike, and they get lost out there. They get separated, and they have to like find their way back, all of them. And it's romantic between the girl and the boy over time, between both couples actually, but one couple's a little goofy. And as they're walking, she's tutoring the guy because he's not good at math.
While they're walking,
yeah, she's like, "There's 2 trees." And there's 2 trees over there.
Oh, wow. He's really bad at math.
He's real fucking stupid. But he's hot. He's super hot. And he's teaching her how not to give in to peer pressure.
Is she hot?
And, no. Well, she has a ponytail and glasses, so she's not hot at first. But later she falls in the woods and loses the ponytail and glasses, and so she's the hottest shit. You would.
Where does the ponytail go?
Well, her ponytail ring. What are those called?
There's not really a name. Ponytail holder is usually what we say for some reason. Her PTH.
What are the things we give Kurt? What are those called?
Ponytail holders or hair ties, I guess.
Hair tie is the word. Her hair tie gets stuck in a tree, and that's why when she falls forward. But anyway, at the end of this, they're able to pass summer school. They learn a lot of nature stuff. One of the guys with them on the hike is a nerd, and he points out nature stuff. And they're all better people for it at the end, and both couples are together. They do have a one night in the woods where they go crazy, and they eat some, like, expired, not expired, but some fruit that has become alcohol because it's fermented.
I was going to ask you about the disease.
The disease?
Mm-hmm. This is where the disease comes in?
Yeah. Yeah. This diseased fruit that gets them drunk. So they do have a dance in the woods, but that's like halfway through the movie. That's not a culmination.
Okay, no.
And at the end, they pass all their classes, and some kids ask the girl to smoke again. She's like, I don't do peer pressure anymore. And the guy's like, yeah, why don't you stop talking to your four friends? That's right. I counted them all. Four of them.
Oh.
Let's go.
He learned from her.
Yeah.
And everybody makes it through the movie?
Yeah.
Great.
No one dies of diseases or anything.
Wow. What a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
Not Nicholas Sparks' best work.
This is Nicholas Sparks one, is it? Okay. That's someone sad and dead in it. Okay.
Do you want to hear the real?
Yeah.
You tell us a beautiful story. I bet that would be a beautiful walk that they would remember forever if everybody lived through it. So, set in the small town of Beaufort, North Carolina, a prank on a student goes wrong and puts him in the hospital.
Smoking?
Landon, a popular student with no plans for the future, is held responsible and forced to join the after-school community service activities.
Okay, come on.
You started great. Which include starring as the lead in a play. Participating in these activities is Jamie Sullivan, the Reverend's daughter, who has great ambitions and nothing in common with Landon. Initially resistant to Jamie's presence, because she is a bit ponytail glasses.
Yep.
Landon soon discovers her depth, kindness, and unwavering faith.
You said depth, not death, right?
Depth, right. But she does have leukemia. I don't think that's in this. But as their friendship blossoms into a deep, transformative love, the couple faces challenges, including Jamie's heartbreaking secret. She's dying. Yeah, some key things you missed are...
I didn't miss much.
She's got like a bucket list that like he helps her with. Like she wants to be in two places at once. That's on her list. And he like takes her to a state line and has her like straddle it. And it's beautiful.
It is nice.
Okay, so the main character is Mandy Moore.
Okay.
But when they actually do the play, she's got like some song that is like barely related to the play, but she sings it beautifully. And he like kisses her at the end of it, which was not part of the play. So it's like, uh-oh, he's in love. But they end up like getting married. Like he wants to date her. And she's like, no, my dad won't let me. He's a pastor. And then he asks the dad and the dad lets it happen. But yeah, they end up like getting married before she dies, even though they're children.
Well, if she's going to die, I feel like that's fine.
Yeah. He also like builds a telescope for her because she's like into space or something and she wants to be able to see this comet. So he helps her dad finish it so they can see the comet because she's too sick to finish it.
Interesting.
I think her mom is also dead. But one of the things that she had on her list was to like witness a miracle, which she never got to do. So like 4 years later, the dad gets a visit from the boyfriend because he's like returning a book and... He apologizes that she didn't get to witness a miracle. And the dad is like, no, you were a miracle. Because she, like, changed his life and made him a better person. Because he was a prankster. And he was just terrible at math. It's the same author as The Notebook. It's very sad sappy. And I think I liked it at the time. But it's a lot. That's pretty heavy for a teen romance.
Yeah.
But you did good.
Thank you.
You had some of the correct elements. You had the naughty child being punished.
I think I was pretty close.
And the tutoring, because I told you about that. And the ponytail situation. And the disease.
Well, you helped me with the disease.
I did. All right. Do you want to watch it?
No.
Okay. This is Ben. Movies one of us has never seen.
Well, everybody, then we watched Firefly. Stacey, could you give us a quick summary of Ariel?
So Ariel is a heist episode.
Yep.
Where the crew heists a hospital to try to get some goods for them to sell and to simultaneously help River because she's getting worse. So it opens with everyone just kind of hanging out on the ship as a family. Some people are like eating. Some people are playing games. Some people are working on stuff. They're all in the same room. Simon's making some food for him and River that he insists tastes good, but she is scared to try it, and he tries it, and you can tell it's bad. And Jane says it smells like crotch.
Yeah.
Such a gross way for something to smell. They are nearing a planet called Ariel. That's why the title is what it is. They're going there to drop off Inara for her yearly checkup.
Which sounds like a gynecologist thing, but I guess it's more
than that. It's a lot of things. Yeah, I'm sure they check that out for like disease and whatnot, but yeah, it's probably just like a general physical. They're required to do it every year. Wash wants to take Zoe down to the planet for a little vacation, but she, you know, hates planets in the core system because she's a rebel, so she refuses to go. Jane wants to go down to try to get work, but Malcolm's like, no, no one's going down except Inara. We're not here. And Book just isn't in this episode. The actor must have had some this week. They justify why he's gone, but I mean, they don't really need him, I guess. So maybe it was just easier to not have something for him to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's like a quick one of those like, oh, he's on vacation kind of lines where it's like, it's why he's not here.
Mm-hmm. And then out of nowhere, River just slashes Jane across the chest.
To be fair, Jane is kind of being annoying and rude to her. And
Simon.
Simon.
Yeah.
So I think that's why she does it. Yeah.
But still, it's a bit of an overreaction.
Yeah. I mean, a big bit.
Mm-hmm. So they're patching him up in sick bay. Jane's all like, Malcolm, you got to get them off the ship. Who knows who she's going to slash next? And Malcolm kind of takes their side, insisting like, no, they're part of my crew. Chill out, Jane. But then he sort of takes Simon aside and is like, you need to confine her to her room. And we might need to like revisit the deal we have with you guys staying here. Because your sister's getting worse and she can't just keep doing that. And Simon totally understands and acknowledges and agrees that she is getting worse. So they're saying goodbye to Inara. Jane again is like, come on, let me go down to the planet. It's stupid that we're just sitting here not working. Let's see if there's any jobs on the planet. And then Simon comes out and announces that he has a job for all of them that's going to be very lucrative. Cut to the song, which we know all the words to.
We try to sing along and it's never good.
Take my land, boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
40%.
Yeah. The job. Simon desperately wants to get River into this fancy diagnostic room he knows that this hospital will have. And what's in it for them is that Simon will tell them how to break into the hospital's medical storage area. He'll tell them what medicines are valuable and they can steal them, bring them back to the ship, and then sell them in space to people that need them. And they even justify that it'll be okay because this planet is so wealthy, they truly will not miss it. It'll just get replenished. And the people in the outer rings where they normally are do not have these medications. So it's Robin Hood.
Right. They're still going to make money, but it's Robin Hood.
They're not really hurting anyone by taking these medications because the planet doesn't. They have more than they need.
Right. We should also mention they're going to some core planets, which they've set up in this episode to sort of be like planets that are closer to the center. So they are like well-to-do planets. Like you can feel safe. It's not the Wild West. There's law and order and they're nice and they have up-to-date facilities and technology.
But they also have government and cops, and that is why Zoe doesn't want to go there.
Right.
And why Simon and his sister probably shouldn't go there because they are wanted. So this is classic heist movie where we see Simon like narrating what the plan's going to be as we're like seeing images of them getting ready and planning it.
Yeah.
So they bribe some guy to get like badges and outfits for them to wear. They, you know, change the photographs on the badges. He also like teaches Zoe, Malcolm, and Jane, the three who are going to like pretend to be paramedics, some like medical jargon or what they need to say to get into the hospital. Because their plan is to wheel in Simon and River as dead bodies in like little caskets. and they're trying to take him to the morgue. And they're supposed to say, like, we tried this and this and this, and it didn't work. But it's, like, all medical mumbo jumbo, and they're having a really hard time, like, memorizing it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. We see them, like, fucking it up, like, three or four times, especially Jane. He's, like, really struggling with a pretty basic phrase.
Yeah. He says something like, if I wanted schooling, I'd have gone to school. They also need, like, an ambulance, essentially, to even get to the hospital. So, meanwhile, Kaylee and Wash are scavenging for, like, an old one, and they restore it beautifully. Like, they fix it up, they paint it, it looks brand new.
So much about this I want to talk about. For one, can they just sell this for money? Yeah. They just made a totally functional spacecraft, or maybe not spacecraft, but, like, vehicle ground out of some craft. Shit they found.
It flies, I think, right?
Yeah, they fly it. It looks cheap as shit, if I'm being honest. It does. It looks like they just made this one day on set.
Yeah.
But I was like, can you just sell this stuff?
Yeah, make this your business if you could just make a ship in an afternoon.
Yeah, totally. Like, how much money are you making off this ship? Also, Wash is in the junkyard, and he's looking at, like, parts. And he has a part that he looks at for a little bit and then throws away. And I think that's the same part that they, like, broke two episodes ago.
That's funny.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but it looked a lot like it anyway.
Last episode, yeah, out of gas.
Yes, the last episode.
So, as I said, Simon and River are going to pretend to be dead bodies. So they literally have to, like, inject themselves with some kind of drug that will make them unconscious for a little bit, because they're going to be inside these little coffins, which you pointed out look kind of fake. They look like two plastic snow sleds stacked up like a little clamshell. But River doesn't want to do this. She's very hesitant to, like, go under. And Simon's like, it'll be okay. I'll be able to help you after we do this. You got to do it. So they're getting ready to go. They're taking the spacecraft down. Malcolm's just double checking with Jane that they're not going to have a problem. Because for some reason, Jane is the one that's going to be in charge of Simon and River, even though he hates them. And Malcolm and Zoe are going to be the ones that are going to go steal the medicine. I
have some reasons for this, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I was waiting for one. So if you have some theories, go ahead.
I have two theories. One theory is that, like, they can maybe read the names of the drugs better than he can.
Okay.
Because they set up that he's pretty stupid and did not go to school.
Yeah. And they have the drugs, like, written on their arm.
Right. And so it's possible they're like, this needs to go down fast. Like, yeah, he could do it over time, but, like, we'd just be much faster recognizing these names. Secondly, if they were to get stopped or questioned, they're going to just be so much better at playing it cool and lying than he is.
Yeah, that's true. And they do get stopped and questioned.
So I feel like, to me, that at least justifies it enough. But like you're saying, Mal makes a big show of saying to Jane, like, hey, I understand you might be a little pissed about getting slashed the other day, but this is, like, a really good job we're doing. It was well thought out by Simon. Like, I don't want you to decide to do any, you know, retribution on your own.
Yeah, and Jane admits in that scene, I think he's the one that says, like, no, Simon has a great plan. This is going to be great. I'm going to be a good boy. But Malcolm, like, does not trust Jane at all. He set that up in other episodes.
Yeah. I mean, Jane says, like, as long as I get paid, I'm fine. That's, like, his thing. But
they're on their way to the hospital. They're moments away, and Jane's, like, still trying to memorize his lines. So they bring in the bodies. They're greeted by, like, the front desk person. They say they have dead bodies, and they're, like, all ready to do their lines. And the woman's like, yeah, sure, just take them in the morgue. They're like, oh, okay, because we didn't have to memorize all that. But Jane just, like, says his anyway.
Yeah.
He's like, we tried to save them with the cardiac, blah, blah, blah. The nurse
she just
or
looks
whatever.
At like,
she's
like, what?
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
So they take him to the morgue. They're all alone. They leave Jane with Simon and River. He's like, yep, I'll just wait here. But as soon as Zoe and Malcolm are gone, he leaves the room. He contacts the police and tells them he's got the people they're after and he's ready to turn them in for the reward. Jane.
Yeah. He makes it clear it's a lot of money, which we know is, like, Jane's main thing.
Yeah. So Simon and River wake up. Jane is now back in the room with them. He gives them their outfits. Simon's pretending to be a doctor. He is a doctor, but he's pretending to be a doctor in this hospital who's wheeling around his sister, River, pretending to be a patient. They go through this area where there's, like, different doctors doing different things to patients. And River is like, that man's going to die. Simon's like, no, that's his doctor taking care of him. And she's like, well, he's not going to do it right. And that guy's going to die. And then he immediately starts, like, flatlining. Simon runs over and saves him. The guy gave him some kind of drug that he shouldn't have because he had another drug in his system. And that just made him start dying. And Simon's just like, you're so dumb. I'm a smart doctor. You're a dumb boy.
Yeah.
Kind of. He's like a new doctor, I think.
Yeah.
So they go on their merry way. Zoe and Malcolm get held up by a doctor that doesn't trust what they're up to. I recognize this dude. I looked him up. He is one of those guys that's in a lot of stuff, but maybe what some of you would recognize him from is the dad from Even Stevens. I didn't watch a lot of that show, but I probably saw enough that that is where I recognize him from. He's also in Star Trek Voyager, like 4 different episodes, so maybe it's that. He's just like going off on Malcolm, and Malcolm's like, pretending to listen. This happens a lot in the show, I think, where Zoe just like then comes up behind him and like shoots him with something. Did they kill him? We don't see him come back to life.
No, but she shocks him. I don't think he's dead. I don't think they would have killed him.
I don't think so either, but they might have if they really needed to, but I expected him to pop back up and try to stop them at some point, but he does not. So they put him in their little casket and wheel him into the medicine room. They start just piling all these medications into their little sled coffins. Meanwhile, Simon, River, and Jane have made it to the scanning room. They get River all set up. It's kind of a very futuristic looking scanner thing where it just sort of like pops up.
Yeah, like a 3D hologram.
Minority Report style.
Yeah, it looks like something Tony Stark would use.
Yeah, Simon's just like manipulating the air with his hands, looking at her brain. But he realizes that they opened up her skull and cut into her brain, like, multiple times. Which is not something one would, like, need to do unless they were, like, lobotomizing someone. But he says that they stripped her amygdala. And basically what this has done to her is made it so that she can't not feel everything. Like, sometimes if you're, like, scared or feel a certain way about something, we're able to, like, kind of push it away if we want to. But she is not able to do that. She's, like, always feeling everything. Simon thinks he's got about 20 more minutes to look at this. But Jane's like, no, we got to go. The plan changed. Simon's like, what? No one told me that? He's like, I told you when I needed to tell you. Plan changed. Sorry. We got to go. River has woken up. And they quickly get apprehended by the federal marshals.
Which Jane expected.
Yes. He's like, cool, cool. Where's my money? He doesn't say that because he's still trying to pretend he's shocked. But he, too, is under arrest for aiding and abetting these fugitives, and the dude who's arresting him is actually going to get a big reward for bringing in all three of them.
Then there's a weird thing where they try to handcuff Jane. They're handcuffing him for a while. We hear one of the handcuffs go on. Then he tries to break free because he realizes he's being double-crossed, and they shoot him with, like, a gun that, like, knocks him down. And we see him fall with both arms out. But, like, there was plenty of time for this guy to handcuff him. So it's sort of like, what happened exactly? It doesn't matter. It was just like an editing thing. But I don't believe that he wasn't handcuffed.
Yeah, it was an inconsistency, I think. Because you see him fall, and you can see one hand isn't handcuffed, but the other one might be. I bet they just forgot.
Yeah.
So Malcolm and Zoe get the meds to the chopper, and they're kind of like, why isn't everyone else back yet? We had this all planned out perfectly. What happened? Meanwhile, of course, they are still captured. Now they are all handcuffed. River is talking about someone ruining Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, okay, whatever. She's crazy. They're waiting for, like, more authorities to come actually get them. Malcolm and Zoe radio Kaylee. She's got, like, access to maps of the facility that they're in, and she's got, like, a radio. And she says someone is talking about ducks. It really doesn't go anywhere.
Well, she specifically says, like, there seems to be some, like, chatter over the, you know, the radio talking about ducks. And I think it's clear to us that this is, like, code from the feds about River. Like, they're not saying it, but it's clearly some kind of code.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense. Why this is funny, though, is because they're talking about ducks when
it's a code from Amy.
Yeah. Because they talk about ducks being killed by the supermarket.
Yeah. Both episodes just reference ducks a little bit for some reason.
Yeah.
Is it, Amy? Is it just a little?
Probably at the same, like, timestamp too.
Yeah. Just a quick duck reference. So Haley guides Malcolm and Zoe back into the hospital using the map that she has. Simon stands up to, like, the head guy that has them captured, and he's like, sit down. He's like, no, you're an important guy. Like, you're not just some random cop. You're, like, pretty high up in this organization, I can tell. So you must want us alive to give to someone else. So tell me what's happening, because I know that you know, or kill me. And the guy's like, I actually don't want you alive at all, but you're right, someone does. We're transferring you somewhere else. So they start to transfer them to a different area, and Jane just beats all of them up, even though he's cuffed. Once they're down, he manages to steal the handcuff keys. He sets them all free. And then two dudes come in. that are kind of creepy. One has like giant eyes. They're very hush. Like these two guys are just like kind of similar and seem like almost a little bit unhuman. The way they walk and move is just a little eerie.
Yeah, these are the feds. And they all have these like blue gloves on, like latex gloves always.
The man with the giant eyes is upset that this agent spoke with these prisoners at all. Like it's a bad move that they spoke to them. He didn't maybe know that or didn't care. But then they pull out this like double-sided blue glow stick. Like it's just like a clear tube, like glow stick thickness that's got blue liquid in it. But this device makes his like insides melt slowly.
Yeah.
He just starts bleeding out every face hole and screaming a lot.
Yeah, it just like melts him from the inside out. It looks kind of like a double-sided version of the Man in Black thing. That like super microwaves your inside immediately.
I haven't really seen that, if you want to add that to your list. I did on the bus on like a school trip once, but I think I was asleep for a lot of it. River sort of senses this. They are in a room. I think that Jane and River and Simon hear this because they can hear the guy screaming, but she also kind of like senses that something bad is happening. And she starts saying her River mumbles, but she's saying, two by two, hands so blue, which we saw in the previously on is something that she has said before. So she obviously remembers men like this that like walk around in groups of twos with blue gloves on. So she starts leading them out of this place. They got to run, run, run from the blue handed dudes. The blue handed dudes get to like the guys that Jane beat up and realize that like one of them is still alive. So they use the device on him.
Yeah, they're just killing anyone that's come in contact with River.
They found out that they also maybe heard what these guys said. Like, anybody that talked to these people has to die, it seems. They eventually get to a door that they can't open. Jane is, like, trying to shoot it or beat it open with a gun. The guys are coming. But just then, Malcolm is on the other side of the door. He opens it from the other side. It kind of nods his head, like, let's go. They're back on the ship, and Nara's back. Her checkup went normal.
Didn't sound, like, great, but it's...
Yeah, nothing was wrong. She said same as last year.
She's like, there was a bunch of needles.
And Simon is just like bragging about how amazing Jane was in saving them. Actually, while they were handcuffed, he was sort of like praising Jane too.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell Jane is sort of like maybe regretting his choice. I mean, obviously it went poorly for him, but I do think you can see a little bit of something in his face. Like, Simon is a good dude. Maybe what I did was fucked up. But yeah. Simon's just like singing Jane's praises, and Jane's like, yeah, you're part of my crew.
Yeah.
And Malcolm's like, oh, I think I might cry. So everyone sort of disperses, but then Malcolm just like knocks the fuck out of Jane.
Yeah.
When he wakes up, he is locked in like, I guess the foyer of the ship.
Where... Did you just call the foyer? I guess it would be like the airlock.
Sorry, the foyer.
It's in the antechamber.
There's a little room before the door.
I just call it an airlock. That's what it is.
I wasn't sure if it was the airlock, and I didn't want to say the wrong thing, but I did. So
you went with foyer?
We're not good at science. I think some people appreciated that I called it the foyer.
Okay, sure. Yeah, yeah.
He's locked in there, and from the inside, Malcolm cracks the door open a little bit. So, like, eventually Jane will get, like, sucked out, or there won't be any oxygen. Once they get further into space, because they're going up, up, up. Malcolm somehow has put together that Jane called the feds. I think because it didn't make sense that they weren't at the meeting point and they should have been. I don't know that there's any way that he can know for sure, but he deduced that that's what happened. And eventually Jane admits it. And Jane's like, what do you care? It's not like I did anything to you. And he's like, no, you turned on my crew, so you did turn on me. And Jane's like, well, what are you going to tell the other people I did after I'm dead? Like, what's your justification going to be for why I got sucked out the airlock? Don't tell them what I did. Make something up.
And I think that's what changes Mal's mind.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he's going to die, and he's not saying spare me. He's like, I have a sense I don't want to look bad in front of them. And he feels guilty about what he did. Because if he's just going to die, I don't think he would really care. Like, someone's going to know something bad you did. Like, he wouldn't care. But that line sort of suggests that he does care about how these people perceive him and that he cares about them in some sense.
So Malcolm closes the door. And he still leaves Jane locked in there, though. He's like, can I get out? So he's in there for a bit, at least. And Malcolm says, next time you decide to stab me in the back, do it to my face. The episode ends with River in her room. She's drawing. Simon brings her a little injection. he was going to go back and do more like research and reading about the scans because he was able to like download it and bring it back with him. So he must have figured out like a way to help her. But he injects her with this without asking. But he tells her it's time to wake up. And that's how the episode ends.
Yeah.
The next one will probably be about like whatever the fuck Book was doing in this episode. So we won't actually figure out what it is for a while.
Right.
But we've gotten some more trickles of what's going on with River.
We have. So did you think this was a good episode?
Yeah, I love a heist.
Yeah, and it got to it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, revealed information without... I mean, it, like, gave us, like, crumbs, you know? It's like they were cutting into her head, but why? It gives us some more without telling us. It also had some great, like, moments with the feds, the guys with the blue gloves. Like, they came across super creepy and super dangerous and scary. Like,
I said
like
very
Agent
hush.
Smith-esque. Yeah.
Like, just two dudes in suits moving in unison. With kind of an unknown purpose. And the Jane character stuff was kind of cool. Like, he's not a good dude. He's very selfish. But, like, he did sort of grow a little, maybe?
Yeah, hard to say if he grew or not. I feel like we're to believe he did a bit.
But also good character stuff as far as Malcolm. Maybe nothing new, but I don't know. I like to see his sort of, I don't know if convictions is the word, but he's got sort of a code.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, ultimately a good dude, even though he is pretty harsh sometimes.
Yeah, like you said, he's got his own code that he goes by, which is sort of like a staple for Westerns, is this anti-hero that's got his own code.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was kind of cool, too, that they were, like, stealing from this hospital, but they did take the time to be like, but is that bad? Because
right.
I feel like in another episode, that train one, they had, like, stolen medicine for a town.
Right, and then they were like, okay, we've got to get it back to them.
Yeah, yeah. So they were like, oh, wait, we can't do that again. Or like that other one where Simon got kidnapped. And it was like, yeah, I mean, these people do need a doctor. So like, it is wrong to kidnap him. But like, it isn't for like the most nefarious purpose that they did it.
Totally. I will say the only thing is Simon came up with this plan very quickly. But other than that, pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, him coming up with the idea quickly isn't crazy. But he did come up with like how they were going to do it pretty quickly. But I'm guessing he had like been to this hospital or like maybe a lot of hospitals are the same.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been something he's thought about before now, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, that's true. So other than ducks, do these episodes have any similarities?
We got ducks.
Is anyone getting a medical exam in the other one?
Well, we have... people trying to make stuff out of junk, you know? Like, we have Kaylee and Wash were trying to make a spacecraft out of junk, and Fanny was trying to make a star out of just a bunch of junky, not good dancers.
That's a good one. That's really good.
That's really good, Brian.
Oh, Boo fell down the bleachers just like some people fell down in this one after they got beat up.
Maybe some of the characters from Bunheads have the amygdala problem, and that's why they're the way they are.
Oh, Michelle gets a little gift at the end, and so does River.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is the gift the injection?
That she did not ask for. Yeah, Simon is her spirit sister.
A gift you didn't ask for. Okay, sure, yeah.
Secret perfect. Sister?
From her secret sister, Simon. By the way, guys, I feel like we may have addressed this at some point, but I realize I've been calling... River Summer, just constantly. Sorry,
you did address that.
Okay, I'm fixing it. Obviously, the actress's name is Summer. It's not like I just picked a random word.
As you did for Betty / whatever the fuck.
Yeah, you know Betty. It's my favorite character right now on Bunheads. They should call it Betty Heads.
I love Simon.
Yeah.
He's like funny. I don't know. I just enjoy his story because he's like very high status, but like that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this like goal that is so much and he has like very little control over his situation. So in this episode, he like really was able to take control to try to help himself / his sister. And he is handsome. It's too much. There's too much with his face to take in. It's
got it.
It hurts. You know, it's too much for the eyes sometimes.
Wow. Do you really find him attractive?
I like I'm saying I don't.
It's fine that you do.
It's like Henry Cavill and Gaston had a baby. It's just like, I don't want that.
It's too perfect.
Yeah.
You want me, who's like almost perfect, but fundamentally flawed.
Yeah.
Got it. So which episode do we think was better?
It's Firefly.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean,
it's a really strong show. It really is. It's like kind of surprising it got canceled.
Why'd you cancel it, Fox?
Like, I wonder if it started now on not on Fox, but like, yeah. But let's say it was on like HBO now or something. Mm-hmm. I bet it would do really well.
Yeah. And it would have a higher budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bummer. I kind of get why they canceled Bunheads, though.
No, so I totally get it. It's got, like, you could see and feel Amy's humor. Like, it's got some really good jokes. But it doesn't have the heart of Gilmore Girls. It just doesn't. Or the heart or, like, the visual or aesthetic embellishments that Marvelous Miss Maisel has.
Yes. Like, that was just, like, a spectacle.
Right. And also, I think Miss Maisel did a great job of trying to get points of view of all of the characters. Like, even Joel, who is a villain at first. Eventually, you see his point of view. Not that what he did was fine, but then you grow to not hate him, which would be so easy to just hate him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this show is not doing that. I feel like even Gilmore Girls would be like, yeah, one of Rory's boyfriends sucks, but we kind of see where they're coming from, even though they made mistakes. Like, it's not just random. Like, we get it. And Bunheads is doing that a little bit. Like, Sasha's mean because her life sucks. Like, that's what about everybody else that seems to suck? What are their deals?
I will say that something I really loved about Gilmore Girls, it had been a long time since I watched it, and something that I was excited for was the town. Like, the town is such a character. And then when we started watching it, that isn't as locked in season one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that really hits its stride until, like, Kirk becomes a big character, and Babette and Miss Patty are, like, occasional pops of fun. Where Bunheads, I think, is, like, trying to sometimes make the town characters, like, quirky, fun people like Gilmore Girls. But maybe had it had another season, that would have been a thing. But I don't really know the town. I think because we don't see it. It's not, like, a set in the show.
Right.
Like, we're basically on Fanny's property most of the time.
Yeah.
But you can, like, feel them trying to, like, insert these characters. It truly, I think, is successful. But, like, I want more Sal.
Yeah, Sal's also great, but we're just not getting much of him.
Or, like, Sam, the actress that played Gypsy, like, I don't even really know what she is. She's just sort of someone that they bring in, but she doesn't have, like, a character.
Right.
I don't know. They're trying a lot of things, but since we know it doesn't work out, like, maybe season two would have been great if they would have had time to use season one to play around. But we're about halfway through now, and I don't know what it is so far. I don't hate it. Like, it's not a chore, but I was hoping it'd be a little better.
Yeah, and when you compare it to Firefly, I was kind of hoping this would go back and forth like Buffy and Gilmore did. But really, it's like, nah, Firefly, when we watch both next to each other, like, Firefly just seems like a better product.
Yeah.
In general. Whereas, like, you know, Buffy might have a streak where it has a couple knock it out of the park episodes, but then it'll have a lull where Gilmore really kills it.
Mm-hmm.
Not the case here. But again, yeah, like you said, not a chore.
But we're still going to watch them all.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of maybe worth binging. Because it's one season, but this is not a show that I would expect I would be excited to be like, oh, we got to pick up season two when it starts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, if you guys want to watch along next week, we'll be discussing Firefly episode 10, War Stories.
As well as Bunheads episode 10, A Nutcracker in Paradise. Ooh, we're doing the Nutcracker somehow.
Yeah. In the meantime, we'd love to hear your thoughts on the episodes discussed in this podcast. What would have gotten you to that city council meeting? What lie?
Why do you think Malcolm made Jane be the one to stay behind with River and Simon?
Have you ever gotten mad at someone and just, like, cut their chest open with a knife?
Is Ginny allowed to date Charlie?
Is that against Brockard? Bronco?
Bronkard? Bronkard? Barfcard?
How do you guys feel about our objections to how the girls behave? Again, I realize they're kids, so some of this... it's just me wanting to like these characters, and I realize kids are mean and stupid. I was mean and stupid when I was a kid. It's not insane behavior. It's just, it's hard to get behind them, especially when I'm used to, like, Rory as, like, a character I'm following who's generally a good person. I realize when she's an adult, she does bad things, but, like, for the first three seasons, she's just a little sweetheart.
We hope you guys don't hate that we don't love Bunheads. We're just telling you how we feel. We're going to keep watching it.
Yeah, I'm just telling you how I feel.
It's fun to talk about. But yeah, answer those questions. Reach out. You can do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Gilmore Slayer, where we post interactive questions, comedy sketches, and more.
Or you can send us an email at brianandstacyreviews@gmail.com. That's Brian with a Y and Stacey with an EY.
For more bonus content, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/Brian and Stacey, where you can watch our video recaps of Angel and now Veronica Mars, We also post monthly podcast outtakes, share early extended episode previews, and host monthly live stream watch parties where you can chat with us live. You also get access to our Discord. And shout out to our new Patreon subscribers, Sarah Crawford, John Hubbard, Baker Jen, Elliot, and Amber.
Thank you so much, everybody. For more of our content, please be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, also called Brian and Stacey.
If you want to support our content, you can do so by making a donation of your choosing via the link found at the bottom of our episode description or in our social media bios.
And if you like what you're hearing, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll give you a shout-out in an upcoming podcast.
Gotta go to the sky.
Find some ducks and make them fly.
You can't take the ducks from me.
Ducks, ducks, ducks. Sounds cool.
Take my hand. Shake my hand. Raise it.
Take my hand and shake it too.
Gotta get up to the sky.
Boil the land and bake a cake. Take me to the big old lake.
I always hear it as, you can't take this guy from me.
Grabbing like, his friend. Guy? You can't take this guy from me. He's the best.
Is it Simon? He doesn't want the feds to take Simon? Makes sense.
That's what it is.